Blog Talk Radio.
This video is sponsored by Walmine. Go to walmine.com/plainbagel to create your free account. In Warren Buffett's latest letter to shareholders, he provided a pretty blunt criticism of accounting earnings numbers. You see, while his company Berkshire Hathaway had made $24.8 billion in operating profit in 2018, the company only reported earnings of $4 billion, primarily the result of a loss in unrealized capital gains. So, even though the business had effectively made $24.8 billion, they had to report a smaller earnings number because the market value of some of their investments went down. This is just one example of the noise included in a company's net income number found on their income statement. It's why many investors prefer to look at a company's cash flow statement when analyzing performance. You see, a company's ability to generate cash is an important factor to consider when researching an investment idea. And looking at a firm's cash flows can clear up whether a business is actually making money or if they're simply abusing accounting rules to inflate their earnings number. So, let's go over cash flow statements and why cash is king on today's Plain Bagel. A cash flow simply refers to cash that a company has paid out or received. In other words, it's any revenue, gain, expense, or payment that a company has actually realized that has actually impacted their bank account. In a perfect world, one would expect that cash flows would be identical to the revenue expenses listed on the income statement, but this is rarely the case. Gains and losses on the income statement can be non-cash, and sometimes a business may accrue expenses or revenues for which cash has yet to change hands. For example, a company may have a bill they need to pay next year, and while this would be recognized immediately on their income statement, the cash flow is only recognized once the money actually leaves the company's bank account. This makes cash flows a lot more straightforward than net income. If a company pays out or receives cash, it's included in cash flow. If not, it isn't. And many analysts give a lot more weighting to a company's cash flows than their earnings. Amazon is a great example of this. In 2014, the company actually reported negative earnings, meaning that according to their income statement, they were losing money. In reality, however, the firm achieved record operating cash flows and added $5.9 billion of cash to their balance sheet. But obviously, where this cash is coming from is important here. An increase in cash is great, but we need to know if the amount is coming from an increase in sales or a bank loan that the company took out. For this reason, the cash flow statement groups its cash flows under three different classifications, the first of which is the cash from operating activities, by far the most important grouping. This amount is a fundamental measure of the amount of money a business has made from their operations. And oftentimes, when people are simply referring to a company's cash flows, they're actually referencing CFO. The amount includes cash received from sales, minus cash paid to suppliers and employees, as well as interest paid on debt and taxes paid to the government. It's basically a measure of a company's operating profit. And like any other profit number, a high and growing CFO likely signifies a growing business, while a shrinking CFO signifies a shrinking business. Worse yet, a negative CFO means that a firm's operations are actually losing money. And if it doesn't improve, well, a company is almost certain to eventually go out of business. The second classification is cash from investing activities. This amount includes anything that involves the purchase or sale of longer-term assets, such as property, plant, or equipment. It's essentially any money that has been spent to grow the business, maintain the firm's current assets, acquire other companies, or invest in different securities. For example, Plain Bagel Co. would include the purchase of a company delivery van, the acquisition of a competitor, and the purchase of money market investments under its CFI. Cash flows from investing are typically negative because they often involve a company investing money into its growth or, at the very least, into maintaining their business. But it can occasionally be positive if a company is receiving cash from its investments or when a firm is actually selling its assets. The final cash flow is cash from financing activities. This is where you will find the amount of money the company has raised through share issuances, bond issuances, or other forms of debt. If a company takes out a loan, the money they receive will show up here as a positive cash flow. This is also where you would deduct share buybacks, dividend payments, and a company's principal repayments on their debt level. So, a positive CFS means that a business is raising money, possibly to grow its operations. And a negative CFF means that a business is paying money out, either to its shareholders in the form of share buybacks and dividends, or to its creditors in the form of principal repayments, which will lower its debt level. So those are the three types of cash flows. And when you net them together, you end up with the company's net change in cash, the amount by which the firm's cash balance changes in a given year. There's also a fourth honorary member of the cash flow family known as free cash flow, or FCF, and it's loved among value investors. Free cash flow is simply equal to a company's OCF, their operating cash flow, minus capital expenditures, or the money from CFI that the company spends on longer term assets like company vehicles or buildings. This number is important because it essentially shows how much money a company has after covering its obligations. It's money that is free from any commitment. It can be used by the firm to pay dividends, buy back shares, pay down debt, or pursue acquisitions. And it's a profit measure that gets a lot of attention from analysts. A company with strong free cash flows is usually able to self-fund growth initiatives without taking on extra debt. Whereas a firm that has consistently negative free cash flow is likely spending more money than it's generating and will eventually need to raise funds. So those are cash flows in a nutshell. But perhaps you don't fully understand why analysts give the measure so much merit. After all the confusing rules and assumptions in net income are meant to reflect a company's financial situation. Is that not good enough? Well, the income statement is useful to an extent, but cash flows offer a more complete picture and can provide valuable insights into the quality of a company's earnings, or how sustainable they are. Let's go through an example. Imagine you have two bagel companies, Plain Bagel Co. and Sesame Sam's. Let's assume that the companies have identical balance sheets, and for 2018, they both record earnings of $10 million on their income statement. One might assume that these companies have similar financial strength, but even with these similarities, the two can vary drastically, which we can see by looking at their cash flow statements. For example, on Plain Bagel Co.'s cash flow statement, you can see that the firm has a high CFO that is able to fund its CFI and actually returns money to its shareholders and creditors in its CFF. On the other hand, Sesame Sam's has a lower CFO and a steep CFI. So they're spending a lot more money than they're making from their operations. And they are taking out debt to finance the spending, which is shown in their CFF. So even though the companies have the same earnings number, Plain Bagel Co. appears to be in a stronger financial situation. It goes to show why it's important to understand both the company's profitability and their cash flows. Companies with higher cash flows tend to have more reliable business models and have fewer problems when it comes to funding their business. Cash flows also provide some insight into a firm's earnings quality. If a business is reporting high profits, but they have a low or negative operating cash flow, such as with Sesame Sam's, then it's possible that they are inflating their bottom line. Now, the nature of a company's cash flows can vary drastically based on the industry they operate within, and there are different rules for things like interest and lease payments, depending on specific factors. But even at a high level, with this basic understanding, you can learn quite a bit about a firm's financial health just by looking at their aggregate cash flows. So next time you look at a company, make sure to check out their cash flow statements to see how each of the three numbers, cash flows from operations, investing, and financing, have changed over time. Also be sure to compare a company's cash flow to their earnings. If the two are close to one another, or if CFO is higher than net income, then the company probably has higher earnings quality. Looking at free cash flow will additionally show you whether a company has money to spare or if they are spending more than they are generating from their business. Net income can give you a quick rundown on a company's performance in a given year. But for the full picture, it's better to count the cash. With that said, we're out of time. If you like this video, make sure to hit the like button.
Salam and good day to the goddesses and gods. We hope your daily life is going pleasant, divine. If you continue to listen to this record, your psyche is voluntarily entering the terms and agreements of all good and no evil. Anyone who is found utilizing evil will be exiled by the host. And this is a notice and disclaimer inside for the love of commerce. We never give legal advice and we never practice law. If you are searching for those things, you will have to search somewhere outside for the love of commerce. So for all mention, we offer grace and benevolence.
Peace to the gods.
Peace to the gods. Hello, world. And how you doing today, Kalam?
Doing good, J-Rock. Doing beautiful. How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, I'm wonderful, magnificent, and great, man. Just enjoying this this beautiful Florida weather, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just enjoying it, man. It feels good out there.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I can't complain at all, man. Just doing a little bit of commerce, you know, still on the grind until we figure out how to slow our grind down and get more commerce while we just chill out. You know what I'm saying? So
already,
yeah, I'm still on the grind, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How everything been on your side, though?
Oh, man, you know what? It's been a hustle for me. You know what I'm saying? Like getting the house remodeled, trying to figure out how to do more business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it's been a hustle, man. I've been looking into some of this whole life insurance. I've been having a partner that's been talking about this whole life insurance. And I was with Primericare at one point, but I kind of let them go. But I just been doing my research on everything versus me just jumping into things. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So I've been trying to kind of compare and contrast with everything.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, just taking it slow, just trying to make sure, you know, I put all my ducks in a row. I think that, you know, having whole life insurance and the word life insurance itself is something that I feel like we're supposed to be enjoying during life, you know.
Yep.
It doesn't say whole death insurance, so... I gotta figure this life insurance policies out. You feel me? So,
no doubt.
Yeah, but what about yourself, brother? How's everything on your end?
Yeah, everything on my end been beautiful, going smooth. Also, you know, trying to expand commerce myself, looking into more, you know, like stepping stone stuff, right? You know, stuff to bring me in, like we talking about today, cash flow, right?
Right.
Stuff like,
right.
I'm trying to get into printing, you know, like printing on clothes, just like in the fashion place.
Oh, okay. So press, yeah. Like the pressing and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, you know, just help little small business right. owners who ain't trying to really pay as much. You know, you can get your shirts done by me. If you have your
right.
own unique design, birthdays, all that other stuff. I'm just trying to, you know, explore a little bit more. Just try to test it out, see how the ROA looking, the return on investment is going to look.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad you brought that up because I had it wasn't a press machine. I think that I wanted to kind of step outside the box. My son was talking about getting a sewing machine. And, you know, I'm into fashion, right?
Yeah.
So I don't knock the people that do press because that is a form of income. But,
sure.
you know, when it comes to the whole fashion game, I was looking more into the sewing, so you know, me and my son.
You mean the embroidery one?
Yeah, we did the embroidery one, and
God.
So we've been trying to work it and try to figure it out. You know what I'm saying? And so
yeah.
We just recently, matter of fact, we just recently ordered some more hats and everything like that. So we just been trying to play around with it. So. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of, because I know that a lot of people were doing the press. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of up the game a little bit. And I said, you know, when I look at the press, you know, even when you go to some of these high-quality places, and like let's just say Nike, for instance, they do
right.
a lot of press.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? But if you wash the clothes maybe 5 or 6 times, maybe the signs begin to fade, or you know what I'm saying? So I just said I wanted to kind of up it up a little bit, man, and get into the whole stitching. And that's what made me do that. You know, the machines are a lot more expensive. Don't get me wrong. The press is somewhere to start. And, you know, man, that's a good look. That's a good look. So, you know, man, you know, when you get ready to step it up, man, you'll see that embroidery machine is, man, it's a new level.
I checked it out.
So it's going to open up a whole lot more doors for you. I actually haven't been taking in any customers or anything like that, because like I say, we just recently got it, so we just been trying to figure it out. I just ordered some hats, so it should be in sometime either this weekend or through the week. And so, man, I'm hoping to get those hats, and then after that, I'm going to order some shirts and some more utensils to kind of go with it. But, hey, man, it's all about commerce.
just let me know you got it out. I'll shop with you.
For sure. You know I got to make some of these For the Love of Commerce shirts and things like that. So, We definitely got to sell something like that, you know. So, but my son is kind of like an artist, so you know he trying to get his little artist thing on. So hopefully, you know, we can get some input on it. You get what I'm saying? So
man,
definitely. But man, that's the business, God. That's the business.
Yeah, that's what's up right there. That's what's up. So we on Financial Friday, right? You know, the topic today is cash flow statement, right? And in the clip, we heard the guy talking about just cash flow real quick, what it is, how it works, and why is it important, is the most important financial statement out of the balance sheet and the income statement. Reason being is because we could see literally everything, how the business is spending the money, where the money is going to, making sure it's not going into any frivolous activities, and we could like see an overview on how the business manages cash. And he showed an example that one business was making what about like $5 billion or something like that. I'm just using it for example. Don't quote me on it. But both businesses was making $5 billion, right? But the thing that set them aside from each other was looking at the cash flow statement. And this is what a lot of investors look at. When they look at your cash flow statement, true investors look at your cash flow statement. And you know the guy off of Shark Tank?
Man, right. FUBU?
I think so. The bald head one. He got a bald spot in the front. Man, he always making deals.
Dude?
No, the Caucasian one.
Oh, the Caucasian one. Okay. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, him. I don't know his name, but I seen him on TikTok, and he was talking about the cash flow statement. He was saying that's what he look at and everything, and he be investing, man. So true investors, like I say, is looking at the cash flow statement. We could just jump right into the private chat. Let's get straight into it. How did you want to do it, guys? I know you want a certain type of...
So what I could do is, until they call me, because I'm just sitting and waiting right now, I could go into it and,
okay.
I could start reading. Okay, so I see you got it in the chat, right? And it says, here's a beginner friendly explanation of how the cash flow statement works. Understanding cash flows. Cash flow represents the movement of cash into and out of business. Inflows refer to money coming into the business, such as sales, revenue, while outflows represent money leaving the business, such as payments for expenses or investments. Components of cash flow statement. The cash flow statement is divided into three main sections. Operate activities. This section includes cash transaction related to the day-to-day operation of business, such as sales, receipts, payments to suppliers, and salaries paid to employees. Investing activities. This section covers cash transaction related to investments and long-term assets such as purchase or sale of property, equipment, or investment in other companies. Financing activities. This section includes cash transactions related to the financing of the business, such as borrowing or repaying loans, issuing or repurchasing stock, or paying dividends to shareholders. Then it says number three, positive versus negative cash flow. A positive cash flow indicates that the business is generating more cash than it's spending, which is generally viewed favorably as it indicates financial health and sustainability. A negative cash flow indicates that the business is spending more cash than it's generating, which may raise concerns about liquidity and financial stability. Number four. Analyzing the cash flow statement. Investors, creators, and management use the cash flow statement to assess a company's ability to generate cash, meet its financial obligation and funds it operates, investments, and dividends. By comparing cash flows from operating investing and financial activities, stockholders and gains insight into the sources and uses of cash within the business. Number five, importance of cash flow management. Effective cash flow management is crucial for businesses to ensure they have enough cash on hand to cover expenses, repay debt, invest in growth opportunities, and weather unforeseen financial challenges. In summary, the cash flow statement provides a snapshot of the company's cash position and helps stockholders understand how cash moves in and out of businesses. It's valuable tool for assessing financial performance, liquidity, and overall financial health. I'm going to tell you, God, that one thing for sure, two things for certain, I learned some of this terminology from the book from Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right?
Right. Right.
And also cash flow quadrant.
Yeah, the cash flow quadrant. Yeah.
Right. And then I also had one from Napoleon Hill, and it was called Think and Grow Rich.
Yes, sir.
All right. But I'm going to tell you one book that stuck with me the most. And I learned from this book when I was just a very young dude, right? And it made me learn the importance of how to save and invest. I read this book called The Richest Man of Babylon. I can't remember
how I know that was going to come up.
Yeah, I can't remember the author of that book, but I know I read this book when I was locked up, and it was like one of my times where I had like and this is the reason why they say it's a lot of wealthy rich and wealthy minded people that's locked behind bars, because the guy that gave me this book, I probably was about 19, 20 years old when I first caught that charge. And so the guy that gave me that book had been in jail since he was probably like 18, 19 years of age, right? And,
right.
He was serving a 15 to 20 year bid. And he was like, hey, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got enough time when you get up out this joint, like, you know, hey, read this and utilize it. He said, man, once I get up out of here, man, I'm coming like this dude right here. And, man, I read that book, man, I was reading it, and it just helped me to understand, like, hey, you know, a king and a queen is just an entity, but it don't stop you from actually being richer than a king and a queen.
For sure.
You can be a master mooser if you apply yourself and learn what money really is, how money really operates, how to generate money. You can learn these things by just studying money. Studying rich people, you know.
Yes, sir.
And I really, really started trying to understand money. And a lot of us, don't get me wrong, a lot of us, we have situations through our life to where we face certain changes every day. We have changes every day. And if you apply yourself and you think on a manner, you can be just like the Robert Kiyosaki, you can be just like the Napoleon Hill, you can be just like the Warren Buffett, you can be just like any of these other rich millionaires and billionaires. You know, I read a post today from one of my big sisters. She said, the only person against you is you. That's the only person that matters. And nobody else matters. But the only person that matters is you. When you go against yourself, you are your biggest enemy. And I feel like that is so true. You can be your biggest enemy. Nobody else can be an enemy to you. They can only be voices in your head. If you allow it to become a problem and a situation, you'll be battling yourself trying to, you know what I'm saying, do what others expect of you versus what you expect of you.
Right. And to touch up on that, not to cut you off, you were ahead of the game with me, because everybody been talking about that book, and I've read it for the first time like about 2 years ago. And when I read it, I was like, man, what took me so long, you know, to understand and read this concept? Because it was breaking down things in the simplest form, you know. Basically, in short terms, in layman terms, is slow motion is better than no motion at all, you know. So saving a little bit of money is better than saving no money at all.
No money at all, yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So
big facts.
And like what you're saying about mastering, right? Becoming a master, that's what we all about. in life, you gotta become a master. You gotta have self mastery, right? Because I self law a master. You have to be the master of this body of the flesh. The flesh is the slave. The soul is the master. And once you really understand that I am the soul. And the soul controls the body, and the body do not control the soul, then you could start, you know, learning how to really operate and you know, bring stuff to life.
Facts. That is real for sure. Hey, I'm gonna throw this little curveball. You know, I used to have money on me, right? And I remember people used to always say, man, nah, don't give me no $100 bill. Don't give me no $20 bill because I spend it. Then I started finding other things that you can invest that money in that you wouldn't spend, like gold coins or silver coins. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's places that sell these coins for a little of nothing, and you can invest into those little bitty coins and have those coins put up, you know. It's just a curveball. You can find things that you can invest in that you can spend your money on, right? Versus saving all the time. You can spend your money on, like, let's just say, for instance, stocks sell, right? Water sell. All these things sell that you probably would spend your money on. And you could take those stocks that you know that average people would possibly wear, and you can sell it and double your money. Bottles of water, you can, you know, sell bottles of water. You buy a case of water for about $4. You sell one for $2, and you got 24 in a pack. You done doubled your money.
For sure.
See what I'm saying? So it's always ways and things that you know that, hey, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to go on and spend it on something that I know I can sell.
For sure.
That's for people that have a problem with spending. Always buy something that you can sell and triple your money. So even if you are spending, you're in that concept of spending, but you are also in that concept of gaining while you're spending.
Exactly.
So you have to reverse that psychological thinking. That, man, if I get this, I'm going to just spend it. That's what money is for. It's for you to spend.
Right.
Spend it in a way that you can double and keep doubling and keep doubling and have that concept going. So
Exactly. I like that concept right there. So let me put that concept, right, into what we're talking about today, right? We talk about the components, right, if we go inside the private chat, number two. It's a components of the cash flow statement, right? And it got operating activities, interest activities, and finance activities. So let's just put that water concept, right? You got 24 cases of water, right? And let's just say, let's talk about the operating activities, right? First, the operating activities is the day-to-day. So let's say you purchase the water. You purchase the water at $5, right?
Right.
As you purchase the water at $5, you also did an investment activity as well, because you didn't only purchase this for me to use. You and purchase. This is an investment purchase, right? So you plan on having money coming in, you know what I'm saying, at the same time. So as you invest that money, you know, let's say you sell a bottle of water for what? Let's keep it simple. You sell a bottle of water for $1 a piece, right? And you say 24 come in a pack, but you spend $5, right?
Facts.
So that's $24, right, minus that $5. You profiting about 19, right?
Yeah.
So let's say, you know what? that $19, you go ahead, right? And you use that, you use this $19 and you say, hey, let me go and get some, let me get some financing activities in, right? That's C. We already went through operating and investing. Let's say you say, hey man, I need some financing. But remember, when someone is trying to finance you something, they're looking at your operation and your investing. Basically, could you afford to stay in business in a way? So if you can't,
right.
let's say you went to, we're just going to keep it simple. We're not even going to say you went to a bank for financing. Let's say you went to your mom or your brother or a family member and you say, hey, you know what? Let me get $100 off of you. I'll give you $105. You know, I know I could, because the $5 is interest, basically. You saying I'll pay you $5 interest by tomorrow. He said, what? Okay, yeah. I'll give you that $105. So now we're in the financing activities. You in the negative now because you owe somebody. But in your operation, if you could get that off, now you inside. Your cash flow is in green. You know what I'm saying? So let's say you got $100, right? And you divide that into five. Because remember, $5 is hopefully everybody keeping up with me. I know I'd be talking fast
right.
a little bit. But
you good.
You could
man.
Buy
you good.
Right. You could buy 20 cases at the price of $5 over that $100 you just got a loan on, right? So you got 20 cases, right? And how much you was profiting off of the 20 cases? 19, right? So we're gonna
right.
put 20 times that 19, that'll put you at 380. Right? That's just profit. I'm only counting the profit now. I ain't counting what you put into it. This straight profit. 380. So you would minus that 105 that you do owe, what would leave you at $275 in that one day. Because you remember you say you plan on selling these 20 water bottle cases, right? In one day. So you paid the guy or your brother $105, which he was cool with it because that was a financing activity, right?
Right.
And he's seen that you was able to pay him that $105. Guess what? He's going to refinance whenever you ask him again. And you just made $275 and you only had, what, $19 to start with? You just tested
right.
out. Remember you made that $19. So your $19 just went up to $275.
Exactly.
In one day.
Exactly. That's one day.
Yeah.
That's one day.
And we just talked about ball of waters and if you could push it off that fast, you know what I'm saying? Just
right, right.
Yeah, simple.
Hey, man, everybody get thirsty. Everybody get thirsty, man. Everybody. I'm telling you. Everybody get thirsty. And water always looks delicious when you're thirsty. You feel me?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when you're selling it at $1, let's just say you're selling it at $2, man. You just tripled
oh,
it.
Oh, man,
so,
you double
it.
Yeah,
but
you double
if you,
it, yeah.
you just doing $1, man, come on now. Everybody can. Everybody is going to want to do it.
For sure.
Everybody. So, yeah, man, let's get that. Let's do commerce. Let's do commerce. We ain't going to talk about let's get money. You know what I'm saying? We're going to say let's do commerce, man.
Let's do commerce.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to step back into the chat because I don't want the time to get the best of it.
Right.
So the first definition we got into the chat is called cash. We're going to check out the etymology word of cash, right? And it says cash, noun, 1590s, money box. Also, money in hand, coin. So that was the real money, the coin. All right, the real cash. All right,
mm-hmm.
From French cachet, money box, 16th century, from Provençal cassius, or Italy cassia, from Latin capsule, box. see Case into originally the money box, but by 18th century, the secondary sense of the money in it became so meaning. Like many financial terms in English, bankrupt, etc., it has an Italian heritage, not related to, but influencing the form of the colonial British cash, Indian monetary system, Chinese coin, etc., which is from Tamil, Kashu, Sanskrit, Kashe, and that's S-A-N-S-K-R-I-T, K-A-R-S-H-A, Sanhalish, Kashi, and that's S-I-N-H-A-L-E-S-E, K-A-S-I. All right. And then you also got a cash verb. Convert a check, et cetera, to cash. 1811 from cash noun in cash, 1865, also was sometimes used related cash, cashing. All right. So that was cash. And we're going to go back into the private chat, and we're going to go to flow. All right, say it's flow, verb. Old English, flowing, to flow, stream, issue, become liquid, melt, abound, overflow, cash, eight, strong verb, past tense, flow, past, flew, past particle, flowing, from proto-Germanic, flowing, to flow, source, also of Middle Dutch, Valoyen, Dutch, Valoyen, to flow. Old Norse, flow, to deluge, Old High German, flowing, to rinse, wash, from pyrut, plu, to flow. The weak from predominant from 14th century, but strong past participle, flown, is occasionally attached through 18th century related flow, flowing. And then you have flow noun. Mid-1560, Hey, God, go ahead and take over that real quick. That's these folks calling real quick.
Yeah, you good, God.
Okay. All right.
All right. Yeah, so, like he was saying, you know, we have flow, noun, mid-15th century, action of flowing, from flow V, meaning amount that flows, is from 1807, sense of any strong progressive movement comparable to the flow of a river, is from 1640s flow chart, attested from 1920, flow sheet in same sense from 1912, to go with the flow is by 1977, apparently originally in skiing jargon. So as y'all can see, that's the definition of flow, you know, to become liquid or melt, right? Abound or overflow, So we know what cash is, and now we know what flow is. So we could say money in hand, on hand, that, you know, overflows. And it says statement. Noun, 1767. What is stated, formal embodiment of facts or opinion, apparently originally in reference to the reports of the East Indian Company. From state, verb, meant. From 1789, as acting of stating. By 1885, in the commercial sense of document displaying debits and credits. Right? So we're talking about the commercial sense of of this. We'll be talking about the document displaying debits and credits, right? So we could put those three words together as, you know, money in hand, flowing. How can I put that one? Flowing on the how. Okay, let's put it like this: how money is flowing on this on the debit side and the credit side. Okay, so how debts and credit is flowing with cash, or by cash, I should say. But anyway, we go back inside the private chat. And once we go inside the private chat, we'll click on the Investopedia. And it says cash flow statement, how to read and understand it. What is a cash flow statement? A cash flow statement is a financial statement that provides aggregate data regarding all cash inflows that a company receives from its ongoing operations and external investment sources. It also includes all cash outflows that pay for business activities and investments during a given period, right? So like the water instance we just talked about earlier, you know, what it records your financial, what your cash flow statement would also record, you know, the money received in the operations, right? How much money you received, which was $19, and how much money was invested, which was $5, right? And also, yeah, pretty much. I'm gonna keep it simple. I ain't gonna make it complex. A company's financial statements offer investors and analysts a portrait of all the transactions that go through the business, where every transaction contributes to its success. The cash flow statement is believed to be the most intuitive of all the financial statements because it follows the cash made by the business in three main ways: through operations, investment, and financing. So back to the scenario where we talked about the water bottles, keeping things simple. Like it says, we talked about the operations. Right? Would it, you know, how we got the money, you know, paying for the water actually. Also, that would fall under investments as well, because you had to invest that money, you know, you had to invest $5 in order to get operations. And then financing. After we got that money and we see that we could create a certain type of cash flow as far as investment and operations, we went to financing by going to our brother or mother and asking them, you know, to pretty much finance me so I can put that finance into my investments to also, you know, feed my operations. And we paid them the interest, and, you know, that finance and investment made the business cash flow grow. So gave us a positive cash flow. All right, so to carry on, the sum of these three segments is called net cash flow. These three different sections of the cash flow statement can help investors determine the value of a company's stock or the company's as a whole. And it says key takeaways. A cash flow statement provides data regarding all cash inflows that a company receives from its ongoing operations and external investment sources. The cash flow statement includes cash made by the business through operations, investment, and financing, the sum of which is called net cash flow. The first section of the cash flow statement is cash flow from operations, which includes transactions from all operational business activities. Cash flow from investment is the second section of the cash flow statement and is the result of investment gains and losses. Right? So I lost. So if you... All right, so if you put an investment in, right, you're losing at first, but it's not truly a loss until you don't have any gains. Meaning, if I put in $105, right, to an investment, and I made $100. I still had a loss because I lost $5. Even though it was $5, it's still considered a loss. All right. So the next one is cash flow from financing is the final section, which provides an overview of cash used from debt and equity. Right. So how cash flow statements work. Every company that sells and offers its stock to the public must file financial reports and statements with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. The three main financial statements are the balance sheet, income statement, and cash flow statement. The cash flow statement is an important document that helps interested parties gain insight into all the transactions that go through a company. There are two different branches of accounting, accrual and cash. All right. And it says most public companies use accrual. So they have accrual there, right? We're going to click accrual accounting. Let's see what that is real quick. And it says, what is accrual accounting? Accrual accounting is a financial accounting method that allows a company to record revenue before receiving payment for goods or services sold and record expenses as they are incurred. In other words, the revenue earned and expenses incurred are entered into the company's journal regardless of when money exchanged hands. Accrual accounting is usually compared to cash basis of accounting, which records revenue when the goods and services are actually paid for. So it says, accrual accounting is an accounting method where revenue or expenses are recorded when transactions occur versus when payment is received or made. So I'm trying to see an example of an accrual, right? Okay, so let's say an accrual could be something maybe like a monthly payment, right? Though they didn't receive that money, they are expecting that money to come in, if that makes sense. So we're going to go back, which means that the income statement most public companies use accrual accounting, which we just knew what accrual accounting was, which means that the income statement is not the same as the company's cash position. The cash flow statement, though, is focused on cash accounting. Profitable companies can fail to adequately manage cash flow, which is why the cash flow statement is critical tool is a critical tool for companies, analysts, and investors. The cash flow statement is broken down into three different business activities: operations, investing, and financing. Let's consider a company that sells a product and extends credit for the sale to its customer. Even though it recognizes that sale as revenue, the company may not receive cash until a later date. See, that one is accrual accounting, what we just talked about, because they're not getting the cash right up front. They're just doing like a monthly payment or however, setting up a payment. And it says the company earns a profit on the income statement and pays income taxes on it, but the business may bring in more or less cash than the sales or income figures. Why? Because let's say you got a car note. You might bring in how much you're supposed to get or more. Reason being is because this person who you extended the credit to, they put their credit on the line, right? And they also signed a contract, and you have penalties for when you don't meet a payment due date. So if you had a car note of $200, real simple, your interest, right, your penalty for passing the due date might be $100 more. So now you're paying $300 if you're, depending on the contract, if you're 2 days late or whatever, right? It's a late payment. So you're paying $100 extra, which is giving this company a better chance to, you know, make more. And the thing about extending credit to people is like, they're going to get their money because they're going to write it off at the end of the taxes and all this other stuff regardless. And a lot of people don't want to mess their credit up. So a lot of people are going to, you know, commit to that. Or they're going to get their credit messed up. All right. Yes, sir.
I'm back.
All right. For sure. And it says cash flow from operations, right? And it says the first section of the cash flow statement covers cash flow from operating activities, which this one is called a CFO. And includes transactions from all operational business activities. The cash flows from operations sections begins with the net income, then reconciles all non-cash items to cash items involving operational activities. In other words, it is the company's net income, but in a cash version. This section reports cash flows and outflows that stem directly from a company's main business activities. These activities may include buying and selling inventory and supplies, along with paying its employees their salaries. Any other forms of inflows and outflows, such as investment, debts, and dividends, are not included. Companies are able to generate sufficient positive cash flow for operational growth. If not enough is generated, they may need to secure financing for external growth to expand. So, like we said inside of the scenario with the water bottles, right? Yeah, we had $5, right? And our $5 turned into $19. But $19, we can grow, but we're not going to expand as fast. So we need to secure external financing, you know, so we can expand a lot faster, right? And that's what we did, and that's why we turned. Because if we went and invested that $19, sure, we would have got faster, but we probably would have had to pay out, you know, whoever is helping us sell the waters. You know, we have to do, like the, like they said, the operations. You know, we have to splice that money up in the operation form. So we need funding to make sure, you know, the business is flowing and expanding. For example, accounts receivable is a non-cash account. If accounts receivable go up during a period, it means sales are up, but no cash was received at the time of sale. The cash flow statement deducts receivables from net income because it is not cash. The cash flows from the operations section can also include accounts payable, depreciation, amortization, and numerous prepaid items booked as revenue or expenses, but with no associated cash flow. Cash flows from investing. This is the second section of the cash flow statement. It looks at cash flow from investing, CFI, and is the result. It looks at the cash flow from investing, CFI, and is the result of the investment gains and losses. This section also includes cash spent on property, plants, and equipment. So you even could put your equipment in is an investment. It's talking about plants, like for gardening. That's an investment. And also property can be inside the investment. This section is where analysts look to find changes in capital expenditures. All right. And it says, let's look real quick. We ain't going to stay on this one too long. What are capital expenditures? Capital expenditures are funds used by company to acquire, upgrade and maintain physical assets such as properties, plants, buildings, technology, or equipment. That's all that means. And it says, when CapEx increases, it generally means there is a reduction in cash flow. But that's not always a bad thing, as it may indicate that a company is making investment into its future operations. Companies with high CapEx tend to be those that are growing. And if you remember the video or the audio we played earlier, I think he referred to Amazon. Amazon was in debt for a few years, right? Because the CapEx increased, right? So, you know, they had to invest more, but it was for the greater cause because they could have tell the future on the cash flow that, hey, we're going to have a positive cash flow pretty much. And to continue, it says, while positive cash flows within this section can be considered good, investors would prefer companies that generate cash flow from business operations, not through investing and financing activities. Companies can generate cash flow within this section by selling equipment or property. And then it got cash flow from financing. And this is CFF is the last section of the cash flow statement. The section provides an overview of cash used in business financing. It measures cash flow between a company and its owners and its creditors. And its source is normally from debt or equity. These figures are generally reported annually on a company's 10-K. Report to shareholders. Analysts use the cash flow from financing section to determine how much money the company has paid out via dividends or share buybacks. It is also useful to help determine how a company raises cash for operational growth. All right. For operational growth, where was that one? And it says cash obtained or paid back from capital fundraising efforts such as equity or debt is listed here, as are loans taken out or paid back. When the cash flow from financing is a positive number, it means there is more money coming into the company than flowing out. When the number is negative, it may mean the company is paying off debt or is making dividend payments and or stock buybacks. Which kind of cash flow show up in operation? Cash flow, cash inflow and outflow flows from business activities such as buying and selling inventory, supplies, paying salaries, accounts payable, depreciation, amortization, and prepaid items booked as revenue and expenses. When capital expenditure increases, what happens to the cash flow? Generally, cash flow is reduced as the cash has been used to invest in the future operations, therefore promoting future growth of the company. And we got one more little stuff. We're going to go over this one real quick, and that will be the end. So let me go to this other hyperlink I seen earlier. But really, I got it in the chat too. So we could go back into the chat. And it says the 10 ways to improve cash flow. And I'm only going to list the ways. We could just go into these on our own time. It's pretty much self-explanatory. So this one, number one says, lease, don't buy. You know, if you don't got that type of money, lease, don't buy. Makes more sense. Building your credit up, same time. And plus, just, you don't have the capital right now. So just lease. You don't have to buy the whole thing. All right. Number two, offer discounts for early payment. Right? Offer incentives, you know, for early payments. Three, conduct customer credit checks. Well, it says conduct customer credit checks. You know, look over people's credit. Don't be giving people the opportunity who already messed over the other opportunities. You know, because if they mess them over, they're going to mess you over. Number four, form a buying cooperative, right? So what that means is, like, you know, like I said, think power in numbers and find other like-minded companies willing to pool their cash in order to haggle lower prices. So if, let's say we wanted to start, let's say me and J-Rock wanted to start our clothing company, right? And we live right down the street from each other, and we both want to do the same thing, but we both got different clienteles, but we want the same product. We can both put in $50, which adds up to $100, right? I'm just keeping it simple, the number's simple. And it doesn't hurt none of our pockets, and we both are satisfied. So, you know, you can team your money up with like-minded people and, you know, make the prices lower. And it says, number five, improve your inventory, you know. Make a list of inventory. Don't overly buy products, right? You're not even using. What's not even selling. And that's where a lot of people money get tangled up. You know, keep buying inventory on product that's not selling. Now they on the shelf, they stacked up. Now you're gonna have to sell them for way cheaper than what it is because the demand for that is so low. Number six, send invoices out immediately. And it says you'll see receivable come in more quickly this way. Make sure you understand the basics of how to put together a good invoice. You'll want your invoice to be easy to read, and the terms clearly stated. So yeah, send invoices out immediately. And it says, number seven, use electronic payments. That's self-explanatory, but I'll still go into it. use electronic payments, because a lot of people, once they didn't have their card set up and they could just click buttons and just do stuff electronically, it's faster. People don't double think about it, you know, especially like automatic electronic payments, you know, subscriptions and stuff like that. They don't really think about it. People like those things, believe it or not. Number 8, pay suppliers less, right? So, like it says in here, you know, you could be kind of cool with your supplier, and you might could get stuff for the low. Y'all have been working for so much years. Let them know, hey, if you give me a deal, negotiate. And it says learning to master the art of negotiation is a essential part of doing business and could help you convince your suppliers to offer you a better deal. And I agree. Number 9, use high interest savings accounts. This will provide you with liquidity while growing your cash position, right? The best high yield savings accounts offer interest rates more than 17 times higher than the national average, meaning you earn money on the money you stashed away. And that's another topic we got to talk about too, is high interest savings accounts. I don't think a lot of people do talk about those, but that's just basically your savings accounts. If you don't touch them, you don't get, and you just leave them there, it's growing. Rather than if you just put your money in like a checking account or a regular, let's say a regular savings account, it doesn't grow. But in a high interest savings account, your money stays there and actually, you know, makes money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not paying interest rates on the bank. It's like they're paying interest rates to you. So, 10, number 10, increase pricing. Increasing your prices is a concept that scares many business owners. They're worried it will lead to reduced sales, but it's okay to experiment with pricing to find the perfect number. And I agree, because a lot of times, and this is what I learned inside my experience just doing commerce as well, and I know we want, because that's how I was, you know, I was afraid, hey man, what if people can't really afford it, you know? And there's always somebody out there who can't afford it. You just have to figure out the sweet spot to where you're comfortable, your pockets is comfortable, and you know the other person is comfortable as well. Because you just got to target the right people, you know, target, you know, like I say, it's I'm not going to say extremely wealthy people, right? But you just got to find that sweet spot. You don't want to, when you start to deal with poor mentality people, and I don't mean this in no disrespectful way, you know, I'm just being straight on this on the business level. Nothing real, nothing personal at all. When you start to deal with people who have the poor mentality, people who pass over opportunity repeatedly, you know, why you don't think they're going to pass over your opportunity when your prices is high? You know what I'm saying? The prices is already low, and those people want the prices to be even lower or sometimes free. They want free stuff. They feel like you're giving them a service, but I think I need something. I know I need something free from you. So, you know, if you go to, I've had instances when I went to, you know, wealthy people. When I mean wealthy people, I'm talking about the mentality, right? You know, positive. When I came to them, they're very grateful. They want to tip you. They don't want to take away from you. They want to tip you more. So that's really like the difference, like the contrast between those type of mentalities. And I know a lot of people want to feel like they helping or somebody, but you can't help nobody unless you help yourself first. It's not being selfish. It's just one of those things where it's like, You know, people say you can't love nobody until you love yourself first. It always starts with yourself first. It's nothing being selfish, but you can't do nothing for others if you can't do for yourself. That goes business and personal. So, yes, sir.
Yeah, I agree. And just to touch on what you spoke on earlier, it said lease, don't buy. Man, that's a powerful, powerful statement. I don't know where we get this concept. Like most people, they got to make themselves seem as if they got all the money in the world. I'm going to go out and pay $20,000-$30,000 on a car,
cash out.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'd be like, what did you do that for? You know? And you see all these millionaires and billionaires, man, they will lease until they die.
Oh, yeah.
You feel me? But now, don't get me wrong. You spend $20,000-$30,000 on a home, that's like equitable interest. Like, you have an equitable interest in something. You see what I'm saying? So you can always use that house. Not saying that you can't always use your car, because you got ways that you can utilize your car, but why pay for it? Why pay for it? Why use all your money to pay for something like that, that, you know, it's going to depreciate over time, you see? And something newer is going to come out, and you can always go to something newer. Your house, if you're using it as instead of a liability, you're using that to gain interest, then guess what? You're going to continue to improve that home, and all the homes around it will continue to improve as well.
Exactly.
So just keep that in mind. Like, don't go out here and always spend your money foolishly and always feel like you got to keep up with, they say keep up with the Joneses. You know, you ain't got to do that, man.
No.
Lease it out. You can always still put it on the market, even if you lease it out. I don't care what you want to do. If you want to do Turo, or any of these apps that they got out here for these fancy cars, man, lease them out. Don't be one of the ones that, you know, you broke after you done paid $30,000-$40,000 for a vehicle, and now you ain't really got nothing to show for it, but you could have invested in the business for about $10,000-$20,000, and man, you could have been gaining a whole lot more interest on something.
Exactly. And to touch up on that, right, you know, just to put it in more layman's terms, what J-Rock is saying, as well as at least what I'm getting from it, is, let's say, for instance, the Toro, right? You buy a car for $20,000. See, I'm a numbers type of person. That's how I roll. Numbers don't lie with me. So you got a car for, let's say, $20,000, right? And that's your that's your payment. You know, maybe it's a monthly payment, right? But you have to pay off $20,000. Let's just say that, right? Let's say you spend about what, $5,000 per year on the car. We just hypothetically, we just using numbers to try to show you guys how to, you know, make an educational financial decision. So $20,000 minus that $5,000, right? How many years will it take me to pay off of this car? Right? So what that is? $20,000 divided into what I said, that five, that's about what, like 4 years? Yeah. Yeah, 4 years. I could have done it on my own. Yeah. So 4 years it would take you to pay off of that car, right? If you're doing $5,000 a year. But what I feel like J-Rock was saying, which is a good thing, whilst you are leasing that car, right? Let's say you're financing a car. Let me put it like that. Whilst you're financing that car, right? You're actually leasing that from the dealership. But in your other hand, you also are leasing it out as well on Turo. So really, the person that is paying this on Turo is paying your bill for 4 years straight. So you almost, it's like you're getting a free car. So you just got to make sure that the car is already getting paid for by someone else, and you can also enjoy the car at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Big facts.
So big facts. That's a golden rule right there. Before you put your money into an investment, right? And you go ahead
right.
and rent or something, rent it out again. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They renting it out, but you renting it out to put you in the green. You renting it out to put to own this in 4 years, and someone else paid it for me. I want someone
right.
else to pay this for me. You know what I'm saying? Whilst I enjoy
Big
it for the 4 years, I'll wait it out. I'm cool. But yeah, and guess what you could
yeah.
do after that 4 years? You go ahead and probably either keep renting it out in the next 4 years again, save up that $20,000 that you're getting off of, you know, renting it out some more, and then reinvest it or put it into something else. Keep growing. Grow some fleets,
exactly.
fleet of cars.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Man, you got to know how the rich stay rich, man. They always thinking about how to capitalize off other people's money.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, this is the reason why Robert Kiyosaki always say, man, using other people's money is gold, man. That's the key. So you want to know how the rich stay rich. I love picking the minds of rich people. And the way that you pick the minds of rich people is by reading what they wrote. You know,
yes, sir.
You might not be one of the ones, the lucky ones that can sit next to them, but over time, you just never know. You might will.
Real talk.
You might will. So yeah, just keep it going, and you know what I'm saying. Just man, just keep reading. That's what I could tell a person, man. Just keep reading.
Yes, sir. I agree 100%. But that was Financial Fridays. You know, it's a beautiful show today. Man, like, we're going to get into a lot of different topics. You know, we always go deep into certain topics that the normal people are not talking about. You know, because we don't want to be normal. We want to be above normal, right? Because that's what the 1% is doing, right? They just a 1% higher than average, believe it or not. They do a little bit more than what this other person ain't doing, who average. That's what makes you above average. You know what I'm saying? Even if you
right.
above, even if you if the average, right, is 10. And you're at 11, you're above average. Believe it or not, just by that
right.
one. So, yeah, just keep grinding and moving forward to be, you know, above average. We don't want to be average. You got anything else to put input, God?
Man, nah, God, beautiful show. Beautiful show, man. I hope that our listeners actually learn something from it and they implement it. Man, let's do commerce.
Yes, sir. No, I agree 100%. Yeah, and we'll be by. What show we got next? Though we got coming up. Knowledgeable Sundays.
Knowledgeable Sunday.
Getting into them rules,
oh, yeah.
right?
Hey, big facts. Big
yeah,
facts.
Let's get into them rules. All right, Delwood.
Yeah.
Peace to the gods. See y'all on Sunday.
All right, peace to the gods.
There was good and evil. We chose good. Why raise the time of the Most High, you sons of men? The rich man's wealth is in the city.
never be too much. Give I protection, be